This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Hayley. We are joined by our next guest on the line, MP for Wills and Saturday Magazine regular. Welcome to the show, Peter Khalil.
Morning, Nevena. Morning, Hayley.
Hello. Peter, what is on for your Saturday before we jump into the big topics?
Well, the weather's not looking very good, is it?
It's terrible.
At least we had a bit of kids' sport this morning, but this afternoon I'm probably going to visit my elderly parents. I think that's an indoor thing.
And whereabouts do your parents live, Peter?
Oh, they're way out on the other side. I'm in the northern suburbs. They're way out in the southeast, so it's a bit of a hike, bit of a drive out past Dandenong.
Oh, wow. So you're going to get to know Punt Road, a Pean Highway, everything. So you're going to be going on your own envoy.
That's right. It is like an ambassadorial visit sometimes across Melbourne, isn't it?
Indeed. So you have been appointed the Special Envoy for Social Cohesion, and I was interested to know about what specific initiatives you plan to implement as your role to address many of the current challenges of division and discrimination that we're seeing increasingly in our community.
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of people are asking what it actually is, social cohesion. And put simply, it's how we interact with each other as individuals in society, but also as parts of organisations and groups, and how we engage and interrelate. And even if we disagree or have differences, how we do that respectfully and peacefully. And now, some of that is obviously legislative in the sense that you have anti-vilification laws or hate speech laws or other anti-discrimination laws. But a lot of it is normative standards, cultural standards, and behavioural settings in the way that we engage. And unfortunately, as you noted, Nevena, there has been this rise of people almost not normalising, but even legitimising the use of violence to express political difference or ideological different viewpoints, and targeting people because of their background and their identity, whether it's their sexuality, whether it's their ethnicity, whether it's their faith background. So, again, trying to find ways that we can navigate through these challenges, and there are a lot of them. There's socioeconomic difference, there's intergenerational unfairness, there's a political populism and social media and the way that algorithms work to actually divide and sow disharmony as well between different groups of people and identities. So there's a big challenge. You said what specific initiatives?
Yeah, that's right.
I said to the PM during the week, I think this is such a big challenge. We need to narrow down towards a couple of very important and I think specific policy ideas that will help us navigate through this difficult period, but also enhance and protect what has been a relatively harmonious and cohesive society in Australia, especially compared when you look at other jurisdictions around the world.
It's interesting at the moment, just to add to this context, a new study by the Australian Leadership Index powered by Swinburne has found that almost half of Australia is more divided today than in the past. So that really adds to that tension of polarisation. With civil engagement, we also have a distrust of politicians that is very deep and pervasive, and governments are widely seen as either self-serving or special interest ahead of the public good. And equally, we're having participation in social community and civic groups on the decline. So people are not joining in Australia as much. Do you think those three factors are also contributing to this rising rates of our social cohesion feeling less tangible than it was in the past?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the distrust in our democratic institutions, in democracy, in the political class, the establishment, that's all very, very real. Now, there are all sorts of issues that have occurred, whether it's corrupt behaviours, whether it's incompetence, whether it's a lack of trust that has developed because of those things. I think people make up institutions, right? Like institution doesn't, it's not just the building. It's our behaviours. It's how we represent ourselves, how we actually engage, that builds up trust over time. It's that sort of almost intangible, but it's very, very important. And there's been a lot of, there's been an increase in distrust in democracy. And some of this is by political actors who are in the system themselves. So you have a lot of this populism where people will be raging against our democratic system as not being, you know, not working and whatever, but they're in the system themselves. So it's diminishing that system. So I actually really believe that in the end, it comes down to a bit of basic decency.
Yeah.
How we, even if we disagree with someone and we have a different viewpoint, whether it's ideological, political, different identity, being able to engage with them in a respectful, peaceful way and navigate difference, that's something that has been frayed, particularly mm-hmm. as, you know, particularly in the points that you make, that is something that's challenging us. And it's not just Australia. This is happening around the world.
Peter, it's Paul here. I just wanted to jump in. Good morning. We had Josh Burns on the Satmag show last week, and we were talking about the special envoy to combat anti-Semitism. And we were posing the question to Pete, to Josh, is the fact that there's a lot of, you know, inequality in terms of discrimination and the fact that we do have a fragmented society. And these special envoy roles, I know we have a very specific time at the moment because of the conflict over between Israel and the Palestinian people. But the idea of having someone looking after discrimination and social cohesion as an ongoing portfolio sounds eminently right, because we're saying this should be broadened for all discrimination to all parties. And therefore, you know, whatever happens post this war getting some type of resolution, this type of role sounds like it should have a seat at the cabinet table.
Well, are you trying to get me promoted, Paul? That's very nice.
I don't think you need to. You're on enough committees already. But yeah, I'm just thinking that it sounds like an important role, Peter.
It is, and it cuts across government. And this is the interesting thing, because a lot of these policy areas, Paul, are not just, it can't be just the stovepipe of a particular department or a particular policy area. It really cuts across government. And that makes it very difficult to figure out where you can focus your policy development on. I know that the special envoys that you mentioned for anti-Semitism, and we're going to be announcing one for Islamophobia, they work very closely, will be working with their communities, given the tensions and the pain and anguish that those communities are feeling because of the war and the real suffering, because family members have been lost. And so that's, they're really important roles. But you're right in the sense that, you know, other parts of society who are feeling discriminated against, whether it's the LGBTQI community, whether it's other vulnerable minorities, making sure that they are supported and that there are people there working within the political system to engage and cut across the disagreement, the difference, to navigate that is actually quite important, making sure different elements or parts of government are doing that work. And I will say that a lot of that work is being done. I've got a fair bit of responsibility to do that work, to work with those special envoys, to work with stakeholders, to work with community groups, to work with different parts of society and engage with them. So part of my role is also ensuring that there is dialogue and getting people together and really uniting people and saying, look, even if there is a difference, even if you have a difference with someone, actually that diversity is one of our strengths and our ability to actually disagree peacefully is one of our strengths as a society. No one, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of their faith, their race or ethnicity, their socioeconomic background, should be discriminated against because of their identity. And that's something that I think, it's a bit of a cliche, but people talk about the fair go. Well, that is the fair go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Giving people a fair go regardless of their background.
Thank you.
So, Peter, we've been talking about prioritising and protecting social cohesion as well as many of the vulnerable communities. But now we have the religious discrimination legislation has been abandoned. We won't be seeing the carve-outs of that close before the next election. What is happening in that space and what is the government's thinking behind it?
Well, I mean, I've heard and understand the queer community is really frustrated by this and disappointed. And that frustration and disappointment, by the way, is coming from the faith-based community as well. Sort of both are sort of making that point to the government that this should have been proceeded with. And I'm incredibly disappointed that the efforts to actually provide protections for LGBTQI people within faith-based schools is not going ahead. Mm. Now, my understanding of the decision is this. As soon as the Liberal Party decided to play divisive politics with this, with people's identity, there was a kind of an understanding. And by the way, they've had the legislation for over 4 months and they haven't engaged in good faith at all. My understanding is this. If they're going to play this game, this divisive game of disharmony and sowing discord, and if we try and push this through, regardless, it's going to become incredibly divisive. Think of what happened in the referendum with the digital attacks and so on and social media. think of the pain that, you know, and the kind of what happened in the plebiscite even earlier before sort of that digital stuff was coming to the fore as much. There would be an onslaught of hate-filled rhetoric, particularly across social media. And I think the government's made a decision to say, we don't want to put the communities through that. We don't want to make sure if we just push something through, that it gets reversed by a future coalition government. It needs to be landed and needs to be done correctly. And my understanding then is that a lot of the protections, I think, particularly for the LGBTQI community, the government's looking at doing that through anti-vilification laws mm-hmm. and anti-discrimination laws, those specific protections. And I think the decision, it is one to avoid further fraying social cohesion and allowing actors to play divisive politics with this.
We are unfortunately out of time, Peter, but it's a very interesting conversation that no doubt we'll be having for the next little while. We do look forward to having updates on the Special Envoy for Social Cohesion and your reflections in the work there. Thank you, as always, for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Oh, and thank you for having me, as always. It's great. Cheers.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Hayley. Stay tuned. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.